Glory. It gets dry up here sometimes when you're preaching. Amen. Come on, you're alive and well. What was that, AJ? Ooh, glory to God. Amen. Well, we're at war. You understand that? We're at war against the powers of darkness and principalities. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen? But right now we're at war against principalities, powers of the air, rulers in high places, and we need to realize that, and as a church, ecclesia of God, to begin to stand, especially now in this time period, praise God, because if one thing that the enemy, Satan, we do have an enemy, amen, and he's out to discourage us, he's out to wear us out, and we need to realize that, amen, we're not ignorant of his devices. So we need to get strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So recently we've been talking about the peace of God and in fighting depression and oppression. And there's a scripture over in the book of Daniel, and I was, you know, considering changing what I've been talking about, but I heard two or three different ministers this week bring up this scripture. And so I said, this is an appropriate time to refresh ourselves and understand what's happening. You might be going through feelings and through different things that it's out of the ordinary and you don't know how to deal with it, but it is an attack against the church, amen, to get us off guard, to get us off of our assignment. Every one of us have assignment. Glory to God. We have a purpose why we're here. And so Daniel he's praying here in Daniel chapter 7. I'm going to read this whole, I'm not going to read the whole passage there because I would have to go and explain the book of Revelation to you, and this is not an end time message as such. But we do have an idea what's happening in this time period. We're at the end of the age. And in verse 25, it says this, he shall speak words against the Most High. This is the enemy, the devil, Satan. It says, he shall speak words against the Most High God and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. He shall wear out the saints of the Most High. If he can get us in that frame of mind and wear us out, saints, and people are going through all kinds of emotions right now with everything that's going on politically, with the mask and everything, and being social distancing and not being able to, you know, even the church world, not in some, like in California, they're not even able to meet inside the churches right now. And in other places that, thank God, we are able to do that. And so we are in the spiritual battle, but we have to stay alert. Amen? We have to stay vigilant. We have to be aware. We're on the front line, people. Amen? We're on the front line. And so Satan's number one attack against us is to literally wear you out and cause weariness to take place in your mind and in your body and everything else. And weariness destroys marriages. It causes people to fall into sin. It destroys ministries, families, even businesses. If we become weary in well-doing, okay, the Bible says we'll not reap if we grow weary, but if we stand in faith, if we will proclaim and prophesy what God has said about us, we're going to go stronger and stronger and stronger. One definition of weariness is this, okay? And one thing, weariness is not tiredness, okay, as far as a physical body. But it can lead to that. It can lead to exhaustion because it's happening in your soulish realm. It's happening in your mind, and it affects your whole body. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So in the Hebrew, the word weary or to wear down means to make you old before your time. To make you old before your time, or to act old. Weariness is the enemy trying to make you act old and non-productive. Let's use that word. Maybe not old as that sense, but unproductive in what God has called you to do, even your family life or whatever. You've got to get refocused. Amen? You've got to go before God and spend time with Him. Hallelujah. So, another thing that weariness does, it causes us to lose passion. And also the Greek said it means to become untied or drift aimlessly. Do you know anybody like that? To begin to drift aimlessly? Where am I? What am I doing? What's my purpose? I don't know what I'm here for. And 6 months ago, they knew their purpose. Okay? We had words from God. We knew our course was set before us, but now for some reason we feel like we're untied, that we're undisciplined, we're just drifting aimlessly, and whatever will be will be. Que sera, sera type of a thing. Instead of getting back on course. So we have to fight the current, because the current right now against the church, because I mean the real church, the ecclesia, the body of Christ, is that Satan is wearing us out. Okay? We're not as you know, spry. We're not just as far as evangelistic or any other way. We're just kind of being passive, you know. During the quarantine time, we became couch potatoes. All right? We didn't have to get up and... And ladies, you didn't have to put your makeup on. You could go to church on your couch. Amen? And really, it's been said, I read the other day, that even people that are able to go to church now, they're deciding not to because of that lethargic spirit that came up on them, all right? And so if they don't come to church, they're not fulfilling the body ministry that they need to. It's not, you know, we can listen because we have YouTube, we have Facebook, we have the internet that we can watch preaching all day long, 7 days a week, all right? We can watch the best preachers. But unless you're serving, unless you're doing something for the kingdom of God, you're not fulfilling your destiny. And that's why the enemy is causing us, the church, to be wary in the season that we're in. He doesn't want us to get back on the front ranks. He doesn't want us to get back to evangelizing. He doesn't want us to get back to having youth group, okay? He doesn't want us to get back to having children's church that's highly functional and bringing in people and training our children in the ways of God. He wants us to just be happy. Oh, man, Pastor, do you believe what so-and-so said? I was listening to this sermon. Oh, how great this sermon is. And we're getting text and copied into to messages, and this one saying that one. Why can't we get a revelation ourselves from God? Amen. Hallelujah. We need to understand, folks, that we've got to get back on course. We've got to shake ourselves up and understand what the enemy's been trying to do to us. And we're not couch potatoes. We've been called to serve. We've been called to be a part. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about every member functioning as God has placed every person in the body of Christ, whether it's the head or the foot or the little toe, little finger, whatever it is, everybody brings something and causes the corporate anointing to increase. Amen. Hallelujah. So what happens is that we drift aimlessly, so we lose passion, we lose vision, we drift in our emotions. We drift in our emotions. We become tired, angry, and depressed. And when we lose our destiny, we lose God's purpose in our life. Wow. Now we see this happening in the book of Nehemiah. Chapter 4. We're not going to read the whole thing, but I will read some scriptures in just a little bit. Nehemiah had received permission to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem that had been torn down. And he received permission, he received the finances, and he got the leadership around him on board, the Jewish people, and they had, really, this was the anointed assignment of God to rebuild. How many of you know we have an anointed assignment of God to rebuild the old waste places? Amen. That the enemy has torn down. So they begin to receive this assignment, but immediately the enemy came in with two characters called Sanballat and Tobias. How many remember those two characters? All right. Now, the same attack, the same strategy is the same today, where Daniel saw that during this season, in the last days, that Satan was going to wear out the saints. This is exactly the same thing that happened in the book of Nehemiah. And we see this happening because Sanballat and Tobias begin to harass. They begin to murmur. They begin to complain and begin to cause the people to become weary. Can't take it anymore. Those voices just penetrate. What are we listening to? Whatever we hear, what is our ears hearing? Jesus said that if you have ears, let them hear what the Spirit says. Not the spirit of the world, but what the Holy Ghost is saying in this hour and in this season today. Amen. And the whole thing about this attack from the enemy, from rebuilding the walls, was to get the people off of their task. Every man, every woman had a job to do to rebuild those walls. They had a specific task. And so when Sanballat and Tobias come along and begin to murmur, cause the people to murmur and plant seeds, say seeds, and getting the people to feel sorry for themselves or even afraid, and then oppression came, they put down their tools and they begin to cease and stop doing what God had purposed them to do to rebuild the walls. See, when we allow our walls to come down, and all of us have walls, we have protection, we have the Word of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about our shield, our helmet of salvation, our sword of spirit, our shield of faith, and our loins been girt about, and all of the great armor that God talks about. But if we don't put it on every day, what's going to happen? We're going to be opened up for the enemy's attack. And we need to make sure that we never get ourselves in that position. All right. Hallelujah. When you allow weariness to win, you are looking at the present following your emotions. But faith prophesies the future. Let me say that again. Faith prophesies the future. So what do when the enemy comes in and oppresses your mind and gets you off your task and causes you to maybe stay away from church or stay away from your assignment or stay away from your ministry, whatever, serving one another? We prophesy. We speak the word that God has given us. We go back and we stir up. You know, one of the churches in the book of Revelations, Jesus said, I have someone against you because you lost your first love. What were you like when you were first saved? You were passionate. You were on fire. My wife went out and witnessed to everybody. She, amen. And she said a lot about that in the past, some of you that know her. I mean, she got saved before we met, and she was dating. She was a player. No, just kidding. Donna kids her all the time about that. She was bringing guys to church and getting them saved. And even when we moved back here, she would, we'd go over there. Where was that? In Hyde Park? West Roxbury, the station, where was that? Forest Hill Station and different places. I mean, she'd go up to strangers, she'd get in people's cars, witnessing to them and everything else. One time in Chinatown, we were having Chinese restaurant. She wanted to show me around. This is when we first came back here, and we went to Chinatown in Boston, and she just got up from the table and went and sat down by this guy and started talking to him, witnessing. She's a passionate evangelist. But what happens when Tobias and Sanballat comes and begins to get us off? We get distracted. And sometimes we allow that passion, remember, to drift aimlessly. And we all have gifts and giftings that we've allowed to put, you know, just slip aside, and we're not fervent in those areas. Every one of us that God's talked to us about in the past, myself too. We've got to get back to that place no matter what it feels like, and we cannot be controlled by what? Feelings and emotions. That's what weariness does. It affects our emotions, and it gets us off. So therefore, we have to begin to prophesy our future. We've got to speak God's word over what God wants us to do. Hallelujah. We have to consistently declare our faith, our future, our dreams, and our purposes. Hallelujah. That has to become louder than the voice of the enemy. That has to be shouting. The devil will shout at you. Big time. Big time. That's why we have to begin to shout big time, just the opposite. And one thing about the devil, he is the father of liars. And if he's telling you something, you can guarantee that it is a lie. There's not one ounce of truth in him. Glory to God. I'd rather speak the word of God. Hallelujah. And the enemy will come in and say, nothing is happening. Look at the condition of the church. There's naysayers out there. There's prophets that are prophesying negativity and all this kind of stuff. I believe we're entering into the greatest awakening that has ever hit the church and the world. Amen. Glory to God. But it's up to us. How many of you want to be a part of that? What God is doing. That movement. Begin to shake. Well, Pastor, I don't see it. I don't feel it. We've got to begin to declare it. New England. God's gave us the word, amen, last year, that we were going to be an epicenter of the glory of God in the area. And when you see all of this hit, not being able to have church for a couple months, and just online and stuff like that, and had to stop the youth, had to stop the children's ministry, and all this kind of stuff, you say, how can that happen? How can signs, wonders, and miracles, how can we be in the New Testament church? How can we be the ecclesia and the governing body, glory to God, over the condition of this world and really the church? Amen? That's what we've been hearing. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, God said, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. There is a healing of this land coming in Jesus' name. Because the church has been rising up, amen, and praying and repenting. Hallelujah. So we must say consistently. And my wife reminds me of that all the time. We need each other, don't we? To remind each other to consistently declare our faith. Because it's so easy to declare what we hear, to declare what we see, and especially declare what we feel, right? We've got to stop it. Say, I've got to stop that. David, I use this often. He said, he prayed this, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And we need to pray that prayer about us, right? Amen. So consistently decree and declare our faith, our future, our dreams, and our purposes. Glory to God. Amen. Most of the time that people are weary, they think they are out of the will of God. And this happens so many times. This is just another point I want to make. They think they're out of the will of God when things start going wrong, especially in the church world. You know, I must not be in the will of God. Maybe I need to find a new church. Maybe something, you know, whatever kind of, because of weariness comes upon them. And actually, they're probably right in the bullseye. They're right in the will of God. Amen. How many of you know that the people that were rebuilding the walls in Nehemiah was in the will of God? But they went through a time when they were oppressed by those two men being used by the enemy, Sanballat and Tobias. They begin to think, well, maybe we better not do this anymore, right? Their lives were literally being threatened, right? And all of the things that was coming. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, the Amplified Bible says this. It says, let us not lose heart or grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right, for in what? Due season or due time, and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. We could just preach on that the whole time, right? Amen. That's it. Let us not lose heart or grow weary. And the enemy is constantly hitting us with those fiery darts. Boom, 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 boom. Like a machine gun. You think he takes a break? Absolutely not. How many of you have ever had a time of victory in your life? And he said, man, I mean, you fought the good fight of faith, right? And you won the victory. You got what you were praying for. Or you just feel it's time for some R&R. But you know what? The enemy don't take any R&R. Huh? And we kind of relax now. We're not praying as fervently as we were. We're just kind of coasting along. And all of a sudden, we get hit upside the head. The enemy whacks us. Why? Because we let down our guard. It's a consistent thing. That's what we read there. Amen. Let us not lose heart, grow weary, and faint in acting nobly and doing right. That's all the time. Not some of the time, but all of the time. For in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap. Do you know the things that you're doing right now? The things that you're saying? You are predicting your future? The Bible says you'll have what you say. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How you're reacting, how you're living now, you're sowing seeds for your future. And if you allow the enemy to cause you to get into weariness and defeat you and lose heart and cause you to just run around aimlessly, hey, we're not going to fulfill God's perfect will in our lives. Amen. We've got to get back on that wall. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Get back on that wall. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Let's look at this, the Passion Translation. When hope's dreams seem to drag on and on, this is one of the things that cause weariness is time passes without seeing anything. And we've all been there, right? Some of you have been praying for your family. You've been believing God for this and that and whatever. And you just grow weary and tired. And the enemy builds up on that. But when hope's dreams seem to drag on and on, the delay can be depressing. But when at last your dream comes true, life's sweetness will satisfy your soul. Sorrow lasts for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Let's look at this again in Nehemiah chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 10 through 15. It kind of gives you the idea of what was happening here when the people were rebuilding the wall. It says, then the people of Judah begin to complain. Why? Because they're hearing all of this seed, all of this stuff from these two enemies that the enemy sent with them. Amen. That the devil sent to discourage them. The workers are getting tired. What was the definition? Making you feel old before your time. And there is so much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves. Meanwhile, our enemies were saying, before they know what's happening, we will swoop down on them and kill them and end their work. And the Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, they will come from all directions and attack us. So I placed, this is Nehemiah now, I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas. I stationed the people to stand guard by families, armed with swords. Time to get your swords out. Spears and bows. Then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious and will fight and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Hallelujah. And when our enemies heard that we knew of their plans and that God had frustrated them, we all returned to our work on the wall. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The enemy. Let's tell them now. Devil, I know your plan. God is greater. God delivers me. I will fulfill my purpose. I will fulfill my dreams. You will not cause me to worry and to quit anymore. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Got your sword. Got your armor. You got your purpose. You got your vision. You've got your dream. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we need to begin to prophesy and speak our future instead of saying what we have now and what we're going through now. Glory to God. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 to 31, it says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint or grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint and weary. And to him who has no might, he increases strength." Well, you know, Pastor, I don't know, poor little me. What, read that, just what he said there. I don't have no courage. I don't have, I'm weird. Look at that. Number one, it says, God does not faint nor grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. And then it says here, he gives power to who? To you and me. To the faint and weary, and to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles. Glory to God. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. It's not about your might. That's what the Apostle Paul says. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, his ability. You are more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens you. You can do all things. Amen. You have the ability of God on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Praise God. One last scripture, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus is saying this. These are the words of Jesus. It's in the red, man. Are you weary or carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. And what does he say? I will refresh your life. It says, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. Your assignments, what God has called you to do. We can start looking at our, you know, just everything around us and begin to concentrate on, you know, the way we feel or what we think or emotions. It'll just keep bringing us down. And you'll have to fight this every moment of your life, depending on what you're going through. And the enemy does have those fiery darts that'll bring against you all the time. But you need to get God's word in you and stand against some of these scriptures. If you're faint, he said, I'll give you strength. I'll give you strength for the faint. Amen. Oh, praise God. I'll give you courage. It's, again, it's his might, his ability, his power. It's not about us. All we have to do is accept what he has given to us already. Amen.
Praise the